Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I am so happy to be with all of you today. I appreciate this opportunity to have the most important discussion as we plot our future in this state, and that is, where are we headed? Right now, Michigan is at a crossroads, and I wanted to come and give you a quick version of my budget introduction that I presented before the legislature last week. And I say quick because I want to open it up so we can make this more of a discussion. But I think it's really important that we get started by looking at what I've put on the table so we can have an informed conversation. So this first slide, good, it's all working. I called the road to opportunity. You know, I cannot get away from the road analogies, so you're going to hear a lot of them, but it's important that we have a real conversation about the facts. So as we have the debate, it's informed by the truth. So this is a mural that some communications people have worked with us on. On the left, you see the Michigan legacy, the great Michigan that people came to from around the world. A good job, great schools for your kids, clean water, high quality life, and the opportunity to make a good living. Right now, we are at this crossroads, which is in the middle of the mural, as you can see. We can either continue down the path we've been on of disinvestment and the things that really are foundational, the education of our kids, the roads that we drive on, skills for our people, and real opportunity, or we can make a bold decision right now to get on a new path, a path that puts us to a place where we've closed the skills gap, where everyone has an opportunity in this great state, where our kids are getting educated, and everyone can be confident when they turn on the tap that they're going to have clean water for them and their families. It starts with the budget. A budget is not just a bunch of numbers on a page or a balance sheet. It is a statement of your values. And the Michigan budget is $60 billion, and it sounds like a lot because it is a big number. But the fact of the matter is, in that $60 billion budget that I introduced, only $10.7 billion of it is the general fund, which is where our discretion is. Everything else is allocated, and we can't change, you know, how the federal dollars are spent. They always come with strings, or how the school aid fund is spent. But what we can work with is the general fund. Now, that general fund is $10.7 billion, and it has not changed in 20 years. So while the cost of everything else has gone up in the last 20 years, the general fund remains the same. And I think you can tell that's part of what contributes to the problem that we have in terms of doing the fundamentals in Michigan. Had the general fund kept up with inflation, it would be $5.6 billion more than it is today. That $5.6 billion is the difference between great roads and the roads we're driving on. It is the difference between old infrastructure bringing water into our households and lead that is leaching into drinking water, or our ability to combat PFAS that is leaching into the ground. It is the difference between a Michigan that leads the world in educational outcomes and one that lags our country right now in educational outcomes for kids. Currently, in the state budget, we have been robbing one fund to try to shore up things in another. So as we fill potholes instead of rebuilding roads, we've taken money out of the general fund to do it. General fund that supports things like the state police or our university system, mental health, that's the general fund. And so to fill up the general fund, we've stolen from the school aid fund. So we have the shell game that's happening in Lansing right now. And so we are not doing anything right. We're not rebuilding roads. We're not funding the general fund and keeping the money where it's supposed to be, and we're not educating our kids well. So we've compromised everything with the shell game that's happening. And we know what happens when you don't fund the roads. Right now, this is the trajectory that we are on. Now, I know that in 2015, they passed some measures to put more money into roads, But essentially what it did was just help us manage the decline. We are still on the decline. The federal standard for good to fair roads should be at 90%. Right now in Michigan, we're at 78%. And I know a lot of you are wondering, how are we even that high? Right? I know you drove in this morning like I did. But if you look and see, there's no such thing as status quo when it comes to infrastructure. Either you're rebuilding or you're declining. And we are declining quickly. If we don't do anything different, if we just do what they've got under law right now, we will fall from 78% good to fair roads to 65% in just 2 years. 1 year after that, we fall down to 60%. There gets to be a point in infrastructure where you can't fix the problem. You have to rebuild it all, and we'll never recover at a certain point. And that's the trajectory that we are on today. You can see this is a map that shows you where the problem roads are in Michigan. So it's not just Southeast Michigan. That's why I include this, because people think it's one area or another. This is a statewide crisis that we're in. But I think another crisis that we might not see on our commute every day, but every one of us knows it's real, is the crisis in education in Michigan. And it's not just DPS. It is across our state. Where we used to lead the world, we have now fallen behind. Our state, the school aid fund's been robbed to fill other holes in the budget. And out of the 58 states, we are dead last for growth in revenue dedicated to schools. And not coincidentally, in that same time, our kids have fallen behind. That's the literacy outcomes in Michigan right now. Look how we stack up compared to the rest of the nation. That's not acceptable. I hope everyone in this room says that's not acceptable. This is, we are out of the 50 states in Michigan, we're dead last in revenue growth. That's how we stack up in revenue growth for education. So we are at a crossroads when it comes to education, and our goal is to make sure that Michigan becomes a top 10 state, which means we go from dead last to in the top 10. It's going to take investment. Going to take investment, and funding for at-risk students, I think, is something that we should all be focusing on. It has dropped by 60%. We're never going to make this a great state and live up to our potential if we don't fix the education crisis in Michigan. Now, I want to talk about, this is the skills gap slide. So this represents how we stack up compared to the rest of the nation on skills. The state that used to have the finest workforce in the world, we are now in the bottom 20 when it comes to skills. And I'm talking about post-secondary attainment, whether it's a credential, a two-year degree, a four-year degree. We are in the bottom 20 right now. 44% of our adults have some sort of a post-secondary credential or degree. Up until my state of the state, we were the only state in the Midwest and one of only 9 states in the country that hadn't even set a formal goal for post-secondary attainment. So I set it at 60%. That puts us competitive with the rest of the states in our country. But setting a goal alone is not enough to make sure you meet it. Anyone who's ever made a New Year's resolution knows that, right? You gotta have a plan to get there. And that's what is reflected in my budget, a real plan to create opportunities for anyone who wants to get into a two-year degree or a trade school or a four-year degree. We're going to make sure they have a path right here in Michigan and hit our 60% goal. And I just want to look at this drinking water slide real quick. This is the map that shows where we have PFAS contamination known currently in Michigan. So the drinking water crisis is not limited to one community or another. And this is just plotted out for PFAS that's leached into groundwater. This doesn't also reflect old infrastructure that's bringing water to our homes. So we got to have goals. And the goal that I have set in this budget that I am determined to make sure we as a state meet with your help is to ensure by 2030 that we get 90% of our state roads to good and fair condition by 2030. And we can confidently say 100% of our communities have clean drinking water. That we reach the 60% goal when it comes to adults with post-secondary skills. and that we take Michigan from bottom of the pack to top 10 state for education of our kids. These are bold goals. These are not going to be easy to get to, and it will not happen overnight. But by 2030, if we do the hard work today, everyone in this state is going to have a real path to opportunity. We will be a destination for families and businesses alike to come to Michigan, to thrive in Michigan. This is the kind of opportunity at the crossroads that we have got to take for the sake of the people who call this great state home and for the future of our state. Now, the solution is not easy. That gap in road funding is $2.5 billion annually. $2.5 billion annually. And it is complicated by the fact that the legislature spent $1.3 billion on their last day of session last year. I am defending a lot of lawsuits that were incurred on the last administration's time, but the bill is going to come due on our watch. We have serious IT challenges across state government. You just look at the FREEP or the Detroit News this morning or the Chronicle, you'll see what the cost is for the welfare of children with bad IT in Michigan. And so we've got some serious pressures, and a real plan to get us out is my plan that I put on the table, which is 15 cents increase at the pump per gallon, jumping that up another 15 cents 6 months later, and then another 15 cents afterward. I recognize this is not small, but there are families and people who are going to struggle to fill their tank with this kind of an increase. But we cannot afford to listen to people that tell us they've solved a problem when they haven't, or who are stealing money out of the school aid fund to fill potholes while the infrastructure continues to deteriorate and our educational outcomes are abysmal. This is a solution that actually fixes the problem. We mitigate the pressure on people that are going to struggle to pay for the gas by doubling the earned income tax credit for the working poor, by building in repeal of the pension tax so that seniors have some relief. And when we don't have to continually pay to fix our cars, every one of us is going to be better off in the long run. Because the hidden tax that we all pay in the form of new rims or wheels or windshields is $646 a year for the not metropolitan Detroit driver. It's much higher if you live in the city or around the city. Over $900 a year you're paying to fix your cars, and the roads keep getting worse. Now, I use this slide so that you can see Michigan's not alone in the need to fund infrastructure. We're uniquely worse off than any of these other states, but Republicans and Democrats alike across the country are proposing fuel taxes to fund infrastructure. You'll see Ohio, our neighbor to the south, has promoting a 18-cent increase, and they have toll roads and roads that start out a lot better than ours do. And I think this map is important so you can see this is a race. Every other state, Republican or Democratic led, are moving toward fixing infrastructure and making sure theirs is reflective of the future economy, while we're falling behind when we don't tackle this for once and for all. So this is how we change the trajectory of that curve. By $2.5 billion annually in this budget, we can get Michigan to 90% by 2029. It is not small, it is not easy, and it will be difficult for some. But the fact of the matter is, if we don't do this, the costs will go up and up, and the cost to our society will go up and up as well. And so this is the new trajectory that we get to if my plan gets enacted. This is the picture of what it will really cost to people. $23 a month at the pump, to be offset by $30 a month in the EITC increase, or $65 a month for pensioners who won't have to pay the tax. And this is the savings for the average driver when you don't have to fix your car in Michigan. So I created this budget. As a former legislator, I know this. The worst vote you can take is one that doesn't actually fix the problem. Maybe even worse than that would be 7 votes that don't actually fix the problem. This would require of the legislature 1 historic vote. when they adopt this proposal, we can fix a lot of different problems, and I'll show you how. When we fund our roads the right way, at the pump, you put the general fund money back in the general fund, which means the school aid fund money can go back into our K-12 schools. It gives us the ability to make the biggest investment in our kids' education in a generation of Michigan kids. $507 million back into the school aid fund, which means we can increase per pupil what our kids are getting invested in their education. We increase what we spend on at-risk students, so the poorest kids have a bigger step forward when we get closer to equity. We increase what we spend in special education, in CTE, the kinds of wraparound programs that help students that need the most help. We can fund the Michigan Reconnect, which is the ability for someone in the workforce to upskill because their job's changing or they want to get into a new line of work or get back into the workforce. And the My Opportunity Scholarship, which is a debt-free community college opportunity for every Michigan graduate, or bringing down the cost of a four-year degree for people who want to get on that path. There are many paths to prosperity in this state, but we've got to open them up and make sure that everyone has a path that they can pursue. When we fund the budget the right way, it also gives us the ability to clean up our drinking water. So in this budget, I have $120 million to improve our drinking water infrastructure across the state. We have $60 million to install hydration stations in school buildings with old infrastructure that's bringing lead-tainted water into their buildings. And the best part, if you're a fiscally minded person, is this has long-term balance in this budget. When you pull the one lever and fund the roads the right way, we can get the dollars back where they're supposed to go. The taxpayers can be confident that every dollar we pay at the pump will be constitutionally guaranteed to go into roads and bridges, that the general fund money is going back where it's supposed to be going, and that our school aid dollars are back in the classroom. Long-term balance of this budget. Now, if you look at Wayne County, you can see this is a map of all of the roads that would be top priority in terms of rebuilding. And the roads, and you can see a more detailed map on the state budget website. But also, you can go and hover on any school district in our state and see how much more we will be investing in the kids that go to that district. In Detroit, let me see, it represents $424 increase per pupil foundation allowance. That is the biggest increase in a generation of Michigan kids. It is outsized compared to a lot of districts who don't have the at-risk population that DPS does. And that's why there's equity that is built into this budget, acknowledging kids in high poverty districts cost more to educate. It is a fact. So the goal is to make sure that we get to a place where every young person has opportunity and a great education, where every family has clean water, every person in Michigan has the skills they need to get into a high-wage job, where this is a place where business grows and thrives and comes to for opportunity, and we fix the damn roads. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I found that to be very instructive. I'm sure many of you have questions. Vicki, are you somewhere in the room? Vicki Thomas, good morning. For those of you who have participated before, while Vicki's going to get her microphone, Vicki will be in the crowd taking questions on behalf of you for the governor. While she's doing that, one issue that has been very important, particularly to minority and Detroit-based businesses, has been the ability to participate in the procurement process at the state level. One of the first things you did on day one or two was to sign Executive Order 2019-8. Could you talk about how that will benefit Detroit-based minority-owned businesses, and also what enforcement and compliance comes with that?
So I'm glad that you highlighted that. That was something that was really important. One of the, as the chief executive officer of the state, I can do some things unilaterally. And the executive directives that I signed were focused on living up to the what I think is a critical need in our state, but also a promise that I made, and that is leveling the playing field for small businesses and economically disadvantaged parts of our state to ensure that our taxpayer dollars, when we spend them, there's a fair shot at getting a contract with the state of Michigan, keeping taxpayer dollars in Michigan and leveling the playing field. It's been so much easier for bigger businesses to compete, out-of-state businesses, and I wanted to make sure that Michigan businesses, small businesses, and disadvantaged parts of our state have a level playing field. So the director of DTMB has taken a number of actions to level that playing field, and I think we, small business people are going to be better off, African-American business people are going to be better off, the state of Michigan is going to be better off, and I think that this is a great solution to a problem that has vexed us and had a system that advantaged one group over the other.
Thank you very much. Vicki, again, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis. Great to be back for Pancakes and Politics. How's everybody doing this morning? Great, great. Now, you all can ask a question by raising your hand, and I will come to you. Or you can fill out one of the cards that are on the table. There are a couple of note cards on the table. Raise your hand with that card, and someone from the wonderful Chronicle staff will pick up that card. And hopefully we'll get to quite a few questions this morning for the governor. I want to just take moderator's privilege and ask one question as it relates to auto insurance.
Before you do that, let's say good morning to the council president.
Yes,
good
Council
morning.
President Jones. So it's a huge problem, and you know how hard Mayor Duggan has been pushing to get auto insurance reform. When I last talked to him, he mentioned possibly pairing your 45-cent gas tax increase with the bill to push through reforms on auto insurance. He wasn't sure if they would pair together well. What are your thoughts on that? And if that doesn't work, what's your plan to help the mayor accomplish bringing down those rates?
Well, I want to sign a bill that brings down rates for people in this state, period, all right? Whether it is attached to the budget or not, that's something that I want to get done. I need to get this budget done, and that's where I'm spending all of my energy. If we can concurrently do something on rates that relieves some of the pain that people will feel at the pump, I understand why people are making that connection, and if I signed both of them on the same day, right here, you know, with all of you, that would be a great thing for a lot of people in the state of Michigan, and that's something that I'm certainly open to. There's no question that the crises that we're facing as a state are money out of rent, money out of child care. It's people are struggling, and auto insurance is a contributing factor, but so is, you know, everything that I highlighted in the budget that I've introduced. So I think that's a conversation that both pieces are starting to move forward, and I'm certainly open to figuring out how we might be able to get both done around the same time.
All right, Rochelle Riley.
Thank you so much. Oh, you hold that. Thank you.
Never let it go.
That's right. Taught you well. She taught me well. I'm Rochelle Riley, and for the next 2 months of the Detroit Free Press,
congratulations on an esteemed career. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. I am so glad to be able to stand and thank you publicly for being the first governor that I can remember who is paying attention to children who have greater needs than other children and making sure there's money for them, because giving equal funding to children does not mean equitable opportunity. The question I have is, we know that your priorities are not always the legislature's priorities, and I won't say anything bad about the legislature right now, but what...
I'll try not to either.
Yes. right this second. But what can we do, or who can we target, or who's in the way to make sure that we can start to get the education funding to where it needs to be? You've taken such a great first step, but we have to do so much more, and if we don't tie education to job training, to jobs. I'm sick of people asking about unemployment rates and what we're doing when we see what the skilled level looks like, and I don't know how people don't get that connection. So if you can tell us, if you just want to give us a list of names, but if you can tell us how we can get to whoever's in the way or what we can do to help make that happen, because it is historic, and I thank you for it.
Well, let me start with this. I'm glad Desi is feeling better. I do follow you on Twitter. That's her dog. She's been worried about
Desi
it.
Desi is home. Desi is home. We all follow.
You know, I really appreciate the question because, you know, this budget is the opening part of the conversation, a conversation that will play out with a lot of different voices. And there's been some strong reaction to the budget. Unanimously, everyone loves the education spending, right? But you can't like the education spending and not embrace the gas tax because it is all dependent. It is one budget that solves all of these problems with one hard vote. And so I need help on that front to get the legislature to support them to do the hard work that I'm asking. I'm not asking for 8 hard votes. I'm not the governor of Ohio who's proposed 18 cents and 7 other taxes, by the way. I am trying to solve a real problem with a legitimate solution, and while people might not like the solution, $2.5 billion is the price tag of 40 years of disinvestment in the state of Michigan. And we've got to do it at the pump so that the money actually goes where it's supposed to go. I don't like the regressivity of it. I get that. I'm a Democrat. I feel the pain that people are going to be experiencing as a result of this, and that's why we've tried to mitigate it. But when we fund our education system, when we fund scholarships so people can get skills, that's how we lift all boats in this state. I have a Republican legislature. We have divided government in Michigan. And so I've got to recognize what is the best way to solve the problems in the way that I hope they might embrace. But I need your help to ensure that we're educating people about what, how serious the issues are and how real the solution is to solving them. The legislature is going to have to take a tough vote, and they're going to need support and encouragement to do that. Everyone in this room has a platform. Everyone in this room has a constituency, a voice, and you've got legislators too and relationships, and I'm asking you to leverage them and help me get this done. I did an interview the other day, and the man said, "Oh, so you want to raise the gas tax?" And I said, "Back up. I don't want to raise the gas tax. No one does." But the fact of the matter is, 40 years of disinvestment has put this huge problem at our feet, and we have a duty to solve it. And we have a duty to make sure that we don't solve it at the expense of other critical things we got to get done. So that's, I think, the best way that you can help, Rochelle. It's early in the process. I just introduced this last week, and there's a lot of chest beating, and that all happens. Like, I don't get riled up over that. That's what happens. But now we're getting to a point where we're going to start the serious conversation. And you've got an important voice in that conversation. I need your help.
Thank you.
All right, we have Joseph Bainison with the State of Michigan Workforce Development who has a question.
Yeah, Governor, my question is that until this morning, until I came here and listened to your presentation, I was skeptical how in the world in Michigan we can increase 45 cents per gallon. My wife is a school teacher. We talked inside the house, and she told me that the same thing, what kind of conversation she had at the school. So even though she as an educator, I work as a higher education consultant for the state, people who care about education, we benefit from your plan in terms of the things why we care about the kids. But that 45 cents was considered hard for us. But now listening your recommendation or your suggestion, how you are going to implement that 15 cents increase every 6 months, and if this message, if people like me who's benefiting from me means as a profession, me and my wife, benefiting, if we had that resistance in us, that 45 cents, for the other people who are not involved directly in education, probably they see it even harder. But now I'm convinced after I hear your presentation, the way how we compared it to the rest of the states, how it's going to benefit us in the short term, plus in the long term, for us, for our kids, for our communities. And I strongly believe that if outreach is done, of course, you know, you are less than a month in the office, this is a beginning, but if that outreach is done widely, and I strongly believe that everybody see that this is in their own benefits and they will support. Thank you.
Well, that was the best non-question ever.
Right. We have a follow-up
and
question.
And I'm wondering if you'll go with me to all my town halls I have scheduled across the state.
Good morning, Governor. I'm Janice Hazel, and I'm working with the Michigan Chronicle. I'd like to do a follow-up to the procurement question that you led off with. I've been talking with a number of businesses, small and medium, in the Detroit area, and they really want to know what are the teeth that you're putting into the enforceability, because they've heard it before, race-based procurements are illegal, and they want to know, are we going to call it for what it is, not geographically disadvantaged? Many businesses that I talked to yesterday said, what does that mean? Let's call it what it is. Black-owned businesses in greater Detroit, what's the enforceability? Are there percentages? How are we going to get there by March 31st? And if we don't, what will happen?
So, well, thank you. I appreciate you pushing me on this because I think that's important. Part of the way that it was crafted was because there are certain things we can't dictate in law, but achieve the same result, right? So when we talk about geographically disadvantaged, that's the way that we attack it in a way that is survives legal scrutiny, okay? But the goal is to make sure that minority-owned businesses have got real opportunity in state government contracting. We need to update our statute with regard to the percentage, and that's something that I've got to work with the legislature, and I would love to have your help on that front. But this was a way that I could unilaterally ensure that our Department of Management and Budget is leveling the playing field for people that are confronting state government. And I'd love to invite you into DTMB and have more specific conversation about what all the teeth are that they're employing to accomplish that goal. But I think you're giving voice to something that is what I'm intending to accomplish with this. But ultimately, we're going to have to codify some of it into statute, and that's going to require legislation in addition to what I can do just by executive directive.
And Reverend Anthony has a question almost.
Reverend?
Thanks, Vicki. Good morning, Governor. I have a comment and a question. First of all, congratulations. You represent something new and different that we voted for and hoped for, and now hopefully we can actualize with every sort of what you're saying. Your presentation, particularly on education and the budget, is very, very, very important. But let me just suggest, and you talked about it in line with what was being asked, at some point you're going to get some money to do roads and to fix roads. Now, it may not be all that you have asked for, but you're going to get something. And I would hope that the roads that are fixed are also roads in the communities. I'm talking about where people drive every day. Because as one who's busted five tires over the last year and a half, I'm not just talking about Whitwood and Jefferson. I'm talking about Linwood and Dexter and Finkel and Joy Road. I'm talking about in those communities. And, Governor, it's important that we see and have people who look like us working on the roads. I ain't talking about holding flags. I'm talking about these companies that are going to do the bidding and getting the jobs. They must be joint venturing with other companies, local business people who can also do the job and be out there other than holding the beautiful flags that we see so often. We want some of the jobs as well. And I also say this, when the question was asked about insurance, I know you have priorities, but one of the things that's going to make this 45 cent more palatable is if we are able to reduce the cost of the high, outrageous, treacherous, terroristic insurance rates that we are forced to pay in Michigan and in Detroit. These insurance companies are killing us, and they should be held to task. And I hope you do have a legislative body that you got to deal with, and they ain't with you in all cases. We know that. But you do have the power of the executive pen. Please do not be hesitant about exercising your governor authority and moving on issues. When they won't move, you move. And I hope that you can move in a way that benefits all of us. So I hope that you consider the insurance thing. That's got to be a priority in conjunction with your roads and all these other things.
Yeah. I appreciate your comments, Reverend. You know, one of the things that was important to me in building my cabinet was leveling a lot of the barriers that keep us from having real diversity in, whether it's in the C-suite or it's in state government. And so I'm really proud that when you do that, you find out that you get a really representative group of people at the table. Paul Ajaba is our director of MDOT, first African-American man to be the head of MDOT. He is working. And I always, you know, I want to point that out, but I point out he was the best candidate, no question. He brought the skills and the vision and the creativity and the drive. He operates engineering programs for young people who are going into engineering, for young people of color, to come into Michigan and get into internships and to pull talent here that really is creating opportunity for people that, you know, that it hasn't always been there. It's something that's important, and as we do the work, that's important as well. So I just wanted to acknowledge that piece of how much I really believe in what you're saying, and we're working hard to make sure that our policies and our practices reflect it. But I also simply would point out that my solution on the roads also runs the funding through a way of prioritizing what is most economically needed and where the biggest problems are. Right now, all road dollars go through this act that was created in 1951. It's 68 years old, and it's why you see great roads in more rural parts of the state and terrible, crummy roads in heavier traffic, and that's what we're trying to remedy as well. Now, I've made some of the legislators mad because their districts have benefited from this, but the fact of the matter is, where the people live, where the business is done, where the traffic is, and where the heaviest damage is, that's where we got to prioritize. And that would be, you know, the streets that you're talking about, not just state of Michigan roads, but local ones as well.
Governor, I want to go to the cards now. One question deals with medical marijuana sales increasing $42 million and whether or not you want to use that money for roads. And also the question is, do you plan to increase revenue sharing? And that's one of the things in your State of the State address. I was surprised that you did not address. So what about revenue sharing for all those mayors in the audience? Mayor Fouts is here.
So let's talk about marijuana first, right? So the proposal actually dedicates where the dollars are going. Some of it is going into infrastructure, some of it's going into public safety, some of it's going into education. But I think it's good to talk about perspective, right? The problem in Michigan with our infrastructure is $2.5 billion annually. Marijuana is gonna raise $40 million. $40 million is a lot of money. But when you think of the magnitude of the problem, pot for potholes doesn't actually fix the problem, right?
Pot for potholes, so, I like it.
It's catchy, right? Right. I don't run on pot for potholes, but it doesn't actually fix the damn road. So, and then, you know, on the...
Revenue sharing.
Revenue sharing, thank you. I need a little more coffee. I didn't get all my coffee in yet. So on revenue sharing, so in the budget, we do have an increase, an inflationary increase for revenue sharing. It's not a long-term solution to something that's been starved for a long time, but I know when we fix infrastructure, those are less dollars that Mayor Fouts or any other mayor in this state is going to have to use to supplement the fundamentals. We do have the 3% built in, and I think that that's, you know, that was something that was important, and I think we've got to have long-term ability to give locals more flexibility in how they run their municipalities and how they fund them, but also support them as well.
Last question.
One more. I poured you a cup of coffee, Governor. I'm Carolyn Cass, and Michigan Women Forward. I'm on the procurement committee that the Department of Procurement set up, and I want to reassure everybody in here that your executive order was the first salvo in this fight. This is a big, complex problem, and we are going to make sure that committee has already, we've had two meetings, and we are going to continue to try to make sure that women, minorities, that Detroit get access to state procurement opportunities. So that you know, I'm sure you don't know every single detail of what's going on in all of these committees you've set up, but thank you for allowing me to be a part of it. While I have, I don't, I can't touch the microphone, but while I have it, I want to ask you, though, everybody in this room has helped in Detroit's revitalization and economic recovery. We do it through lending to small businesses, to startups. We do the micro lending in this city. And I can tell you that a small business tax or a tax on LLCs will devastate the work that everyone here has been trying to do for the last 10 years. So please say it isn't so.
So in the budget, part of the relief that I want to give is for pensioners, right? And the Snyder administration connected the pass-through entities with pensions when they gave, you know, passed their policy and taxed pensioners to pay for it. The legislature was moving forward with a pension tax repeal. It's $340 million a year, and they were doing it without paying for it. And so as a part of our budget, we connected the two because the Snyder administration had connected the two. Now, if you don't like that part of the budget, work against that part. The fundamental lever, though, that this whole budget depends on is the gas tax. And so we can disagree on the pension tax and the pass-through. I understand your concern, and if there was an easier way to pay for this, okay, I'll share it with the Republican legislature and have them build it into the bill that they're passing. And then that accomplishes the goal and takes off the price tag that I'm trying to cover that they're pushing. So, all right, bye.
All right, Vicki, you win. One more.
I promise Donald he'll be mad at me.
Donald, be brief.
Governor, good morning. Just two comments. Number one, many years ago, we voted for the lottery to fund the school system. And we felt like we got a three-card molly because the money went to the general fund. And the general fund is so used to that money, it's just there. But number two, I think as a business person, we don't mind sacrifice a little bit for the gas tax, but we need, like you said, a straight, clean bill that money that we pay will go for that. Because I know that Governor Snyder has left you a $600 million bill. So it means if you raise $2.5 billion, $600 million needs to go to offset a debt that he's left. So it doesn't become what we really sacrifice for. So I'm for the sacrifice if we can get it clean.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your comments. You know, the way that we have been funding roads has been so cobbled together that everyone's lost faith that the dollars ever go where they're supposed to go. I just want to clarify something on the lottery. The lottery raised $941 million last year. Every penny of it went to the school aid fund. People are suspect for good reason, because Lansing often will change where dollars go. But those dollars did go to the school aid fund. The school aid fund is $14 billion. And so when you think that the lottery can fund the whole school aid fund, it's actually funding maybe 8% of it, even at that huge number. And so I think it's always good to have perspective when we have this conversation. It's like saying pot for potholes. It's this much of a problem that's, you know, this big. Same with the lottery. It's 10% of what we're, less than 10%. So with regard to, you know, I think the picture of this budget that I like the most is where you see the money actually gets back to going where it's supposed to go. Taxpayers should have confidence that if we're going to make this sacrifice, it's actually going to fix the problem. And that's why the fuel tax, as opposed to a corporate income tax or as opposed to income taxes or anything else that someone might want to throw on the table, is the only mechanism to ensure the dollars go where they're supposed to go. And that's why we settled on that as the solution here. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.